Chapter 5. A Second Chance. All of a sudden, Keola was aware of something dark against the stars, of a light below, and a brightness of the stormy sea. He heard men talking. He cried out, and a voice answered. In an instant, the front of a ship hung above him on a wave and swooped down. He caught the ship's chains with his two hands. One moment he was buried in the rushing seas, and the next he was hauled onto the ship's deck by sailors. They gave him alcohol, biscuits, and dry clothes, and they asked him how he came to be where they found him. They asked whether the light which they had seen was the lighthouse, Leokalaau, but Keola knew white men are like children and only believe their own stories, so he told them what he pleased about himself. And as for the light, which was Kalamake's lantern, he insisted he had not seen it. The ship was a schooner bound for Honolulu and then to trade in the Low Isles. Luckily for Keola, she had lost a man off the deck in a storm. Keola dared not stay in the Eight Isles. Word spread so quickly, and all men are so eager to talk and carry news. If he hid in the north end of Kauai or in the south end of Kau, the wizard would have wind of it before a month had passed, and he knew that he must disappear. So he did what seemed the safest, and sailed in the place of the man who had drowned. In some ways, the ship was a good place. The food was extraordinarily rich and plentiful. There were biscuits, salted beef, and soup every day, and puddings made of flour and suet twice a week. Eventually, Keola grew fat. The captain also was a good man, and the crew no worse than other whites. The trouble was the mate, who was the most difficult man to please that Keola had ever met. He beat Keola and screamed at him daily, both for what he did and didn't do. The blows that the mate dealt were very painful, for he was strong. The words he used were very unpleasant, for Keola was from a good family and used to respect. Worst of all, whenever Keola found a chance to sleep, there was the mate awake and hitting him with a rope's end. Keola saw it would never do, so he decided to run away. They were about a month out from Honolulu when they came in sight of land. It was a fine night. The sea was smooth and the sky was clear and full of stars. A steady wind blew, and there was the isle before them, a line of palm trees lying flat along the sea. The captain and the mate looked at it with the spyglass. They spoke the name of it and talked of it beside the wheel where Keola was steering. It seemed it was an isle where no traders came. By the captain's words, it was an isle where no man lived, but the mate thought otherwise.
"The direction makes no difference to me," the mate said. "I went past here one night in the schooner Eugenie. It was just such a night as this. They were fishing with torches, and the beach was thick with lights like a town."
"Well, well," said the captain, "there aren't any distant dangers by the chart, so we'll just enter the sheltered side of it.
Keep her moving, I tell you,"
he cried to Keola, who was listening so hard that he forgot to steer. The mate wished evil upon him and shouted that Keola was of no use in the world, and if he went after him with a rope, it would be a bad day for Keola. So the captain and mate went below deck together, and Keola was left to himself. "This isle will do very well for me," he thought. "If no traders deal there, the mate will never come. And as for Kalamake, it is not possible he can ever get as far as this." With that, he kept edging the schooner closer. He had to do this quietly, for this was the trouble with these white men and, above all, with the mate, that you could never be sure of them. They would all be sleeping soundly, or else pretending. And if a sail shook, they would jump to their feet and fall on you with a rope's end. So Keola edged her up little by little, and kept doing it as the land drew closer, and the sound of the sea on the sides of it grew loud. With that, the mate suddenly awoke.
"What are you doing?" the mate screamed. "You'll have the ship ashore."
He made one bound for Keola, but Keola made a clean move over the side and jumped into the sea. When he came up again, the schooner had moved off from her true course. The mate stood by the wheel himself, and Keola heard him swear. The sea was smooth under the shelter of the isle. It was warm, and Keola had his sailor's knife, so he had no fear of sharks. A little way before him, the tree stopped. There was a break in the line of the land, like the mouth of a harbor. The tide, which was then flowing, took him up and carried him through. One minute he was outside, and the next within. He had floated there in shallow water, bright with 10,000 stars, and all about him was a ring of land with its string of palm trees. And he was amazed, because this was a kind of isle he had never heard of.